This is a National Museum of Australia recording. For more information, visit nma.gov.au/audio.
To the second session of the symposium. And I have very great pleasure in welcoming someone who just made it back by the skin of his teeth from Japan last week. We really owe a lot to Dick for pulling himself together and being here today, I think, after that experience. But I've known Dick for years, specialist in Asian art, particularly Asian ceramics, at the Art Gallery of South Australia. And he's always been one of those humanising influences along North Terrace. And had a very long association with the Adelaide Plains, and his family farmed next to the Edwards family. And Dick is going to take us back into those early years. Thank you very much, Dick.
Thank you, Philip. Bob grew up on his grandfather's productive vineyard and orchard and market garden in the beautiful farming district of Marion on the Sturt River in South Australia. The area was surveyed by William Light in 1838, and Richard Hamilton planted grapes there soon after. Marion is about 10 kilometres southwest of Adelaide on a fertile floodplain between the sea and the hills. As a child, Bob roamed freely over the whole district, once home to the Kaurna people, whose marks remained on the giant river red gums where they'd removed bark for kulmons. The river, now a concrete drain, as was alluded to earlier, was fed by natural springs. It had deep water holes for swimming and fishing and was full of bird life. Marion was surrounded to the south by sheep and wheat properties, and the local railway yard at Oaklands provided a distraction for small boys and girls. It had a country air with its sheep and cattle yards, piles of mallee roots, stacks of wheat, and mailbags, rows of milk cans, smelly canvas-covered boxes of fish, and the local produce would be sitting on the railway platforms. And the steam trains then had a guards van that also carried freight every day. Life for Bob was full of delight and excitement in this rich environment, despite the hard times of the Depression. The World War II years were also important to Bob's growing up. There was rationing, but the orchard and neighbours, exchanges with neighbours, made sure that food was always on the table. Street lights were out and the houses were fitted with blackout curtains. A few vehicles carried smoky coke-fired gas producers, the lights dimmed and shaded. And Bob spent quite a lot of time at the local Warradel Army camp. Here troops were being trained for the Middle East, and when they'd finished in the Middle East, they were rushed back to Warradel for a brief respite and training before they were sent to New Guinea. Bob watched rifle and machine gun exercises in the beautiful gum-studded farmland close by. The soldiers became very fond of Bob and made him their mascot. I think they provided a uniform even. On the orchard, he worked the vines with a horse and single furrow plough, delighting in the clouds of seagulls that followed him. He drove the tractor and trucks, nurtured stone fruit, almonds, wine grapes and table grapes and vegetables. And the hard outdoor life invigorated him. I think made him pretty tough later. He enjoyed the changings in the seasons, you know, the quiet dawn, dusks, magpies, sun, sweat, cold. Bob went to school at the New Ascot Park Primary School and later to Theberton Technical High School, where he learnt skills that were essential for his future as a man on the land. He left high school in 1945 with distinction, but there was no question of tertiary education. It was assumed that he would follow his father and grandfather on the land. But Bob was shocked in 1950 when grandfather, without consultation, suddenly decided to sell the business. And luckily, Bob's father bought into Seaview Winery in McLaren Vale, was then called Edwards and Chaffee. And Bob followed quickly to work on the vineyard and the new life of hand pruning the grapes in autumn, still pruning as the grapes were budding in the following season. Grape fun making vermouth tells these amazing stories of throwing great sacks of herbs into the vermouth with complete abandon. But my father thought that his vermouth and dry sherry was delicious, especially as it was 2 and 6 for a 3-bottle flagon. Bob grew restless for independence and decided to go into business by himself and return to the Marion area to lease a large mixed garden property. And here he honed his marketing skills and management skills. He became an expert at manipulating and negotiating the lucrative Christmas markets by betting or gambling on the hot weather to come, and he'd stack his cucumbers in the paddock with sprinklers on them, waiting for the last moment to sell them at a much better price. He also used to drive his truck fully loaded, looking as though it was fully loaded, into the markets but empty, to sort of throw the scent off to his competitors. Bob's grandmother was a passionate member of the Field Naturalist Society and took Bob, when he was quite young, to lectures, exhibitions and excursions. And I think this had a major importance on Bob's later life. Bob swiftly embraced the world of science and history, and a friendly scholar-farmer, Adelaide people would recognise the name, Gordon Raglas, became his mentor and introduced him to the Royal Geographic Society. This was in Bob's early teens. Bob became a devotee of the RGS and particularly its historical section. In 1952, Bob married Kath, his lifetime partner, and following the birth of their 4 sons, the couple spent weekends and nights together writing papers, reports and letters for many decades. Bob would do a full week's work and go home for the weekend and do another, probably more intense, 2 days of correspondence and report writing. Bob published his first paper with the RGS in 1954 on the history of the local church at Marion, St Mary's on Sturt Road, second oldest church in South Australia, and the church where Bob and Kath were married. In the 1960s, Bob started night school and moved away from the market garden to the Adelaide Wholesale Produce Market, first with the Apple and Pear Association. Later, he became their marketing director. Same time, he kept up his academic interests with a passion, gradually moving into Aboriginal studies with the South Australian Museum. In 1965, he succeeded Norman Tyndale as curator of anthropology, realising his lifetime dream at the age of 35, which is pretty amazing given his start as in an entirely different profession. He worked with Charles Mountford, among other important scholars, and produced a large volume of papers and wonderful photographs of remote desert Aboriginal people. Bob continued his involvement with the National Trust and by the 60s chaired the Committee for Regional Museums. He was also appointed to the International Committee, to an International Committee for UNESCO, and many other exciting projects followed. Bob has been a wonderful friend, confidant and mentor. I've had the great luck and pleasure of working with him on a range of projects for over 4 decades. perhaps most closely with Bob and also Carol Henry at Art Exhibition. So thank you very much.
The National Museum of Australia in Canberra explores what it means to be Australian through our permanent galleries, exhibitions, public programs, and the National Historical Collection. Find out more about the museum at nma.gov.au or download more audio programs from nma.gov.au/audio.